And welcome back in Stripe Show podcast on a Monday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Hope you're doing well. We had a great weekend, and I hope you got to watch some golf over the weekend at the Northern Trust, because you were treated to some incredible golf. Of course, Dustin Johnson winning the tournament 30 under par. If you like that, you're into those kind of things. 30 under for four rounds of golf, 11 shot win, 22 wins now for Dustin Johnson on the PGA Tour. But it wasn't just 30 under. It was one of the real superstars of the game in just this component and unconscious mind of incredible golf. And I don't think there's anything that I enjoy more than watching one of the best players in the world play absolute best in tournament conditions. And that's what it was. And it reminded me of Tiger Woods back in his prime. That's what it reminded me of. I don't have a great memory. I can't recall, like, you know, this guy did this 3 or 4 years ago at this time. It's hard for me to go there. My mind doesn't quite recite it that way, but I can remember Tiger in his prime, in his playoff run, major championships, just putting fields away. That's what it reminded me of. Tiger Woods, 6-7 shot advantage going into the weekend, and then he would just put his foot down on your throat, win by 8, 9, 10. And to help us break it all down, I bring in my good friend Froggy. What about you, Froggy? Was that Tiger-esque? I mean, what in the world did we just watch there in Boston?
It really was unbelievable. To me, the difference in what you see when you watch greatness, and when I say greatness, I mean people who are great at the sport that they play. So whether it's Tiger when it comes to golf, or whether it is Tom Brady playing football, or whether it's Michael Jordan playing basketball, Kobe Bryant, like there's so many greats. And it doesn't have to be, I'm not talking about necessarily GOAT status. I'm talking about people that are great at their sport. They make it look easy. And that's what DJ does. Dustin Johnson makes it look effortless. It's effortless power. It's effortless domination. He never looks stressed out. You can't tell the difference in when he makes an eagle from when he makes a double. He's got the same demeanor all the way through. I know that bothers some people, but it really truly was utter domination, and he makes it look simple. And to him, it is easy. And when that guy's motivated to win, whatever it takes to motivate him, he's one of the, right now he is the best in the world. He's number one again in the world golf rankings. Unbelievable what he's able to do when he is engaged and when he's on.
Yeah. Unbelievable. There's a lot of words that you could use. And I thought it was fun to watch. You know, there's not many times when the tournament is over that I'm driving back to the house because I need to watch the back nine.
Right.
You know, I mean, the tournament was over, and I still found myself wanting to get back and watch Dustin Johnson play in this incredible bubble that he's zone right there. I mean, when you're stepping up one look, 320 down the middle, give me the 7-iron, cut fade to 12 feet, making the golf course look small. TPC Boston, I've played it many times. It's not easy. I mean, this is not an easy golf course. Now, they had soft greens, no wind. I think they embarrassed the course a little bit, but you know, it was goofy golf is what it was. It was, you know, this new PGA Tour game, remote control kind of golf. And he just has this demeanor about him as he goes about it. He just makes it look simple. I mean, it's just easy to him to go up there and just make birdie, eagle, birdie after birdie. It doesn't matter how many under he is. He just continues to go. And I use this, you know, it's kind of cool. We get into the playoffs here. And of course, the second leg is this week in Chicago. But, you know, you look at the NBA, you look at the NFL, they get into the playoffs and the level of play starts to intensify, right? It starts to pick up the intensity. The game is moving faster. And we get into the playoffs in golf. Is that really the case? Probably not, right? I mean, there's so many big events that these guys play for. But for Dustin Johnson, man, he got into the playoffs. He went to an entirely another level of play. And I think the rest of these guys now are looking at it saying, oh my God, like if Dustin plays like that again, we're all playing for second. I mean, there's only a couple guys that can keep up with that level of play. But I think if you're the PGA Tour, I know it was a blowout, but you got to be pretty happy with one of your big dogs going out there and just putting his foot down.
Yeah, I mean, when he goes out Friday, so Scottie Scheffler shoots 59, and you're like, oh, great, it's 59, and it's a big deal. And then DJ goes out, and he starts like birdie, eagle. Wait a second. This could be monumental. And he's 11 under through 11 holes. Still shot 60, didn't shoot 59 for whatever the reason. You can look at it however you want. But it just looks easy to him. And I don't know if he was maybe slightly re-energized by Brooks and the shot that Brooks took at him. He didn't say that that's what re-energized him, but I know that you spoke to Dustin's coach on a previous podcast, and he had said that sometimes he's just not into it. He's just really not into that, whether it's that tournament or that round or whatever it is. But to go out and win the Travelers and then take a week off and come back and shoot a pair of 80s, miss a cut, then go up and next week and shoot 78. If you remember, he made a bomb of a putt to shoot 78. Should have shot 79. Then he withdraws and says that he had something wasn't right, his knee or something wasn't right, or his neck or something, and then shows up, almost wins the PGA Championship. He had a solid round on Sunday. He didn't crumble at the PGA. Could have played a little better on Sunday. But Colin Morikawa came out and took that tournament away from everybody. I mean, that's credit to Colin more than it is Dustin not playing well. And then to annihilate the field, I feel like when Dustin's into it, he's into it. And when he's not, he just, you know, kind of goes through the motions. And I mean, aren't we all kind of like that in some way, shape, or form sometimes?
Yeah. No, I think it's a fair point. I've said it all along with Dustin and Rory. I think they're the ones that show it the most because they're in the spotlight. I think Tiger runs into that, I'm sure, from time to time. You lose motivation, right? You lose focus. You don't shoot 80, 80, 78 if you're focused and motivated with Dustin Johnson's skill set. You just don't. You just don't. Now, I know there were some lower back things there, and I mean, how hurt was he? Maybe he was. I don't know. I just think it's a lack of motivation, and I think it's a lack of focus. I think we're seeing it with Rory right now. He's struggling.
Oh, so it's funny you say that. So I'll read you a quote. This was yesterday. He finished 20 shots behind third round leader Dustin Johnson. This was after the third round. He says, "This is going to sound really bad, but I feel like the last few weeks I've just been going through the motions," McIlroy said when asked about the lack of supporters on the golf course and whether it's impacting him. Quote, "I want to get an intensity and some sort of fire, but I just haven't been able to find it. And that is partly to do with the atmosphere and partly to do with how I'm playing. I'm not inspiring myself, and I'm trying to get inspiration from outside sources to get something going." Yeah. Rory just not inspired. I don't know if it's doesn't want to play, just not into it, not fired up. I mean, it is weird with no fans. Like when you watch Dustin make the birdie eagle finish he had on Saturday, to just have no fan reaction, it really is bad. I mean, yesterday Tiger Woods starts off, knocks it to 3 feet, makes birdie, two putts for birdie on number two, drops a 45 footer on number three, drives the green on four, and two putts for birdie. I mean, with a crowd there, that is such an electric atmosphere. Even though he was on a, you know, as we call it, a dew sweeping round when he's out early in the morning, but you still would have fan interaction. I think the fan interaction is bothering some people, but then I could make an argument, like you said, that it could be benefiting Dustin.
I think Dustin drew some motivation for Brooks, his comments. I do. I believe that. Yeah. Now you can sit there and say, yeah, stuff doesn't bother me. I don't read that game, you know, the tough game. He reads it. He responds to it. He has something to say about it. It's fine. You know, it's fine. Like we're human beings, right? Someone takes a shot at you. Like some can buffer that better than others, but I think with DJ, like, look, DJ kind of took Brooks under his wing to some degree. Right. And you know, Brooks, I have his quote here after the third round at the PGA. He says, you know, a lot of guys in the leaderboard, you know, I don't think they have any more. I don't think they have one, referring to a major. I guess DJ has only one, you know, and it was, you know, paraphrasing a bit, but you know, to me, like some are like, if you were looking at it in the context, he really didn't, come on. You know, let's just call it what it is. He's taking a shot at
it. Was Brooks apologized. Yeah. It was wrong and he shouldn't have said it. So, I mean, there was absolutely something there.
Sure. There's no question. And you know what? DJ came out, played good the final round. And I tell you right now, and I said this, I know he didn't win. We were talking about it on the podcast. I was like, DJ was focused. I love focused and peak DJ. You know why I like it? Because of what we saw at Boston. That's why I like it. I like watching domination. DJ can dominate. Rory can dominate. Tiger dominated. Is there another guy on the PGA Tour right now that's going to dominate like that? I don't know. No. Maybe, I don't know. Not with the appeal that Rory and DJ, what it showed me really, and I've been having this conversation. I was talking with Craig Kann about this. He was on the podcast a couple of weeks back about JT. Is he a superstar? And I got to thinking, you know, I think he is. But then I watch and I think, and I'm like, you know what? Tiger's in his own stratosphere, always has been. And Phil's Phil, right? And Phil's phasing out right now. But the next tier to me, it's DJ and Rory. Like that's, those are the only two guys that fit in that. And if that's superstar, whatever it is. And then below that is headlined by JT with Rom in there. Rom. Yeah, right. And Brooks. Like
Morikawa.
Yeah, like Morikawa's moving into that. But just when you kind of look at this whole package type of thing, I think Rory and DJ are superstars. And when they're motivated and they're playing at that level that we just saw, it's much watched TV. I don't care if it's a one-shot lead or if it's an 11-shot lead. You just want to watch it because it's just silly. Like we can't do that. We're watching something that it's hard to even just comprehend. You're 11 under through 11. What is that? That's crazy.
But at what point do we move Rory out of that second tier? I mean, let's be honest. And I'll ask you this because I'm not sure if you know off the top of your head. And I just looked it up. It's the only reason I know. Do you know the last major Rory won?
Last major was the PGA, wasn't it?
In 2014.
Yeah.
In so the we're dark. Going 6 years. 6 years without a major. Yeah. At some point, Rory has to be maybe dropped down to that to that. You know, it's so difficult to put these guys into because do you value number of wins? Do you value majors? Then the players gets a value on. That was a big win last year when he won the Players.
Yeah.
It's difficult and nobody is consistent. Nobody is as consistent, but I think that we as fans, at least myself, are a little jaded by, we tend to compare to the Tiger run where he was consistently at the top all the time. We're not seeing that from any of these guys. I mean, none of them are consistently at the top. I mean, when you look back at yesterday, for example, here's the guy, John Rahm, finally gets to number one in the world, right? So he's finally there. And then John Rahm shoots 69, 67, 67, 65, and he lost by 15 shots.
That's unbelievable.
He didn't have a bad round. Yeah. He did not. He shot four sub 70 rounds, which you would say, okay, you shoot four sub 70 rounds in a FedEx Cup playoff event, you should be pretty near the lead. Mm-hmm. The guy lost by 15 strokes. I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening. Can DJ continue it this week at the BMW? I don't know. But it really is, it's unreal what he did yesterday. And when you compare it to other guys, I like Rory. I think Rory's great. And I think that even, and you could attest to this much more than I can, I think there's a lot of timing involved in Rory's swing. When the timing's off, it's way off. But when it's on, it's on.
Yeah, I don't know. If I would go down that path, I think Rory hit it on the head. He's very transparent. I just think it's focus and I think it's energy. I think it's motivation. You brought up Alan Terrell. Alan is a guy that works with Dustin Johnson, has for many years. He was the Coastal Carolina, really took DJ under his wing and helped DJ get on the right track. I think both on and off the golf course. He's a good friend of mine. He's a great guy. Hard nose. And I think that's exactly what DJ needed at the time. He still works with Dustin right now. He runs a school up in Myrtle Beach. Check it out. Dustin, I believe it's a school of golf in Myrtle Beach. And I called Alan after the 3M Open, right? This is when he withdrew. This was after shooting 80, 80, 78. I was like, come on, man, just shoot me straight. Like, is DJ fine? First off, healthy wise, is his back.
Right.
And then, you know, where are we at here? And he was like, he's fine. He's like, look, he's fine. We'll set back, blah, blah, blah. And you can listen to the podcast. It's out there, Stripe Show Podcast with Alan Terrell. But then I asked him, I said, let me ask you a tough question. I said, is it fair to say with DJ statistically at the short game in putting statistics start to go backwards? At the time he was in the hundreds, he was like 108th in strokes gained short game, 110th in putting. And he was rolling really well before that. I said, it's fair when you see his stats short game wise start to slip, that it's a lack of motivation and a lack of hard work getting out and grinding on it. And he's like, yeah, right. That's fair. You know, that's fair. That's part of it, you know, for sure. So, you know, look, I think when he's motivated and he's like, look, I'm going to figure this putting thing out and I'm going to go to work and I'm going to grind. And I mean, he was talking about all the hard work he's put into it and I'm going to hit the shots and I'm going to get myself back on track and this and that, you know, like all the right things, and you can see it and you can hear it. And you're going to get it with Rory too. I think it's the same thing with Rory. Maybe Rory more than DJ, you make a good point, feeding off of the energy from the fans. They're not there. He is that shows it paired up, right, with the fans. So you can certainly see that, the lack of that, I should say, with Rory McIlroy. But I think Brooks did DJ a favor. I think he responded, and I think he made a statement to the rest of the field out there with what was just some incredible play. And as we kind of look ahead, I want to pivot here just a little bit now.
Let's take a second to talk about the guys and girls over at Encore Golf. Encore has earned a reputation of having the most cutting-edge technology in their golf balls that the industry has seen in quite some time. Their team in Buffalo, New York, is changing the script of golf technology through the perimeter-weighted designs, use of high-density particles, and even a nano-transitional layer in their latest creation, which offers players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course and extreme velocity off the tee. They already have their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, but the new Vero X1 is the highest performance ball to date. With their full suite of golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill levels. Visit EncoreGolf.com/Travis Fulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe Show podcast.
We narrow it down to 70 off to the BMW, and then they finish up with the top 30 at Eastlake in Atlanta. And I feel like I was looking through the top 70 and in the FedEx Cup and who's going to be playing in Chicago there. You know, it kind of feels like, and has here really this year, you know, the PGA Tour, the faces of the PGA Tour to some degree, you know, you're starting to see some change here, right? I mean, Phil's right. Career, he's 50. He's playing on the Champions Tour this week. He finished 75th in the FedEx, so he won't make it. You're going to see Phil here and there, right? Like, we know Phil's going to be out there, and he still has the game once in a while. But Ricky Fowler's 94th. He won't be there. Jordan Spieth, 107th. He won't be there. Justin Rose, 91st. He won't be there. You know, to me, you know, it's been Fowler and Spieth for a long time. You know, big faces and names. These guys are struggling. And, you know, Fowler's taken on some big swing changes. We've talked about Spieth struggles. I don't like the direction Rose is going either. Personally, I've said that many times.
Yeah. So what is he changing exactly? What I know he has, he split from Foley. What swing changes is he making?
I don't think he's making any swing changes. I just, from the outside looking in, you know, I just think a lot of decisions that are kind of head scratching. I mean, first off, he was the number one player in the world. And then he switched his equipment. I mean, yeah. Does that make
that was a money grab.
Does that make any sense at all?
No, none.
For the betterment of your game. You're the number one golfer in the world and you're going to switch your equipment. Come on. That's just stupid. I mean,
he was only with him for what? Less than a year.
Yeah.
And now he's back using the equipment that he was originally using when he was number one in the world.
Right. So he's gone back to that. And then, after they come out of COVID, he was down at his house in Bahamas, kind of practicing by himself. He decided, look, I'm good. I don't need Foley's help anymore. Who knows if they're still work, but he makes a statement that he's going to be doing it on his own. All right, fair enough. You know, he's been up and down, you know, since then. A lot of missed cuts, just a lot of erratic play. I mean, he made a 50 footer on the 36th hole just to make the cut on Friday in right. Boston. And then, right. you know, he played some pretty good golf on Sunday, but no Foley. Rose is in every commercial. I mean, you see him more than Fowler now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just what direction? I have a lot of questions for Justin Rose. So you got no Fowler, you got no Spieth, you got no Rose. And, you know, the new faces are here. They've moved in. You know, you got Wolf at 33. You got Hovland at 24. Morikawa at 5th. You got to put Scheffler in there now. He's at 14th. Got to put Champ in there now. He's 25th. And Sun Jaim, we don't give him enough credit. Oh, yeah, by the way, he's 8th in the FedEx Cup. So,
wow.
It's a new era. These young guys are moving in. And the not-so-old guys, right? I mean, these guys are not that old. Fowler, Spieth, Rose. Rose a little bit older. They're phasing out. Can they rebound, Froggy, next year? Are we going to see Spieth again win? I mean, this is going on too long, right? I mean, a change has to happen, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I just, and we've been saying this a long time. I'm not saying that Cameron Smith's a bad coach. I'm just saying that he needs a new set of eyes. It's like a, you know, to use a football reference. It's like a guy that's, you know, Andy Reid, for example. Andy Reid's not a bad coach. He had just run his course in Philadelphia. He went to Kansas City, and last time I checked, he's having a pretty damn good run.
Yeah.
Sometimes just a change of scenery does people really well. And I think a new set of eyes and a new message and maybe a new way of hearing it would be better for Jordan Spieth. I mean, what does he have to lose at this point? And it's not good. Every now and then we see a good round, but it's followed up by a bad round. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's one of the lowest as far as scoring on Saturday or Sunday on the tour. It's terrible. And so something's got to change.
I agree. You know, I agree. It's Cameron McCormick, his coach.
Cameron McCormick, I'm sorry.
Yep. And Cameron Smith, oh, by the way, is 26th in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, he's a damn good player.
Yeah, I mean, he's having a great year. Lives here in Jack's Beach. And, you know, gosh, I don't know. I mean, you would think. I mean, just take the names out of it for a second, right? We're not taking a shot at anybody. We're just take all the names out. Player A has been for a long time, right? And it's not getting better. Like, there's incremental gains at times. Something has to change here for Jordan Spieth. Ricky Fowler, I think we have to see how this one plays out. He decided to make some pretty wholesale changes with his swing. I think he's going to have some time here to kind of work on this US Open. But I think in the Masters, of course, I think here this is got to let this one play out a little bit to see how it goes. I'm a little surprised, though, that he is deciding to take on the significant changes that he is at this stage in his career. And then, of course, Rose just, you know, he's just going to do it by himself, right? So, you know, you got Spieth who's holding on to the same old. You got Fowler who disconnected and then went to a new coach. And then you got Rose who disconnected and is going to do it by himself. So you got three guys going about it in three different ways, but all three are on the outside looking in.
Of those three, who do you think will see success first?
I think if Spieth can just kind of recollect himself and get his ball striking where the big miss is not so erratic, it'll be Spieth, because Spieth can score. I mean, Jordan Spieth, even during this stretch, is so much fun to watch. I mean, I got to tell you, like there's been rounds, whether it's on PGA Tour Live or whatever, like there's places he's hitting it for 4.5 hours on the golf course. And then he comes in and shoots 70 and you're like, how in the hell did he just shoot 70?
Right. It's the best 70 ever shot. Yeah.
I mean, the guy is one of the best grinders and the ability to get the ball in the hole of our era. I mean, he is.
Right.
So
just as there's other guys who go out and strike the ball very well and come in and shoot 71 and you're like, well, wait a second.
That's right.
You hit the ball in the middle of the fairway and on the green all day. How'd you only shoot 71? So he does get the most out of his rounds. But it's just not been pretty lately. And he's hitting the ball all over the place. There appears to be a two-way miss.
Yeah, I think
he can figure it out.
I hope so too. I think there will be. I think he's going to do something different. I think he's got to try to just freshen it up a little bit, re-spark some things, get some momentum, new chapter of his career. So I'll say Spieth. I'm a little worried about Fowler. I'm a little worried about Rose. I'll be honest. You know, take the names out of it. Those players, I'm just concerned. Can they kind of get back to where we need to be? I mean, Fowler, you know, isn't a prolific winner, right? I mean, he's won 5 times. I get he won the Players, but he's not a prolific winner. And he's getting into now this second part of his career, latter end, the second part of his career, the prime years. And then, of course, same with Rose. I think Spieth has the most upside there, and just kind of narrowing the miss a little bit, build some confidence, and I think off he goes. I do think he'll get back. I do think he'll win again because the kid can score. I mean, he is magic. Wedge, putter, you know, forget about it. So let's look at these other six names here as we kind of look ahead here. You know, I look at Matthew Wolf. To me, you know, if I say these names to you, right, give me a sentence or two, what comes off the top of your mind as we kind of look ahead here and just based off of what you've been seeing here in the growth of these young players. So let's start with Matthew Wolf. What do you think?
You know,
what comes?
Obviously the first thing that comes to my mind is George Gankus and the crazy swing. I love the stuff TaylorMade's doing with having guys try the Matt Wolf, you know, you do the Matt Wolf challenge or whatever it is. I love that stuff. I think once again, like I said earlier, that I think there's some timing involved in that. And I think that's why we see the wild finishes. Sometimes he looks great and sometimes he doesn't, but he's still very young. His body of work is very small. I think he's a great player though. I learned a lot about Matthew Wolf. I didn't realize he was a long ball hitter until I saw him in the event with Rory, in that event they did in West Palm. He outdrove everybody. So, you know, I think that there's a lot to be, We don't have a huge body of work, but to me, Matt Wolf, anytime you hear his name, the first thing you think of is the swing.
Yeah. Yeah, you do, right? You think of this swing where his hands are in, the club head's out, the shaft's stacked up vertical going back, but then he lays
way down.
And then he shallows it out. Yeah.
Yeah. But it works. You know, if it works for him, that's great. I saw the video where like a John Rahm, DJ, Tiger, they're all trying to do it.
Yeah.
I think the only one that was even halfway successful at it was actually Dustin Johnson was the closest to actually being able to pull it off.
And you look at his statistics, you make a good point. Like I think people did realize post COVID with Wolf that the kid can bust it. Right. Cause he was in that TaylorMade real event. Like he was no question the longest. Yeah. Strokes ain't off the tees 13th. Right. So, you know, you look at this golf course, in Chicago. Why am I drawing a blank? Olympic Field, right? Olympia Fields. Sorry. Yeah. Olympia Fields. You know, you look at this golf course, I think it's going to play long. Tour's going to edge it a little bit here, I think, towards some distance, this week in Chicago. So Wolf's long, 13th, strokes gained off the tee. Strokes gained approach 95th. I mean, he's middle of the pack. Strokes gained around the green 199. I mean, that's, you know, he's probably going to have to clean that up a little bit. Strokes gained putting, he's 74th. So, you know, nothing jumps out at you there, right? You know, when you look at him statistically for the year, strokes in off the tee 13th, he's obviously long and he uses that to his advantage. I will say strokes gained around the green since doing this DraftKings show that I do and since digging deeper into these statistics and how these courses play out, you know, strokes gained around the green normally as far as order of importance to the winners and you look at the top 10, it's like fourth or fifth. You know, I mean, this is a ball striking game. Strokes gained approach is number one. That's no secret. Strokes gained putting usually will vary from course to course. Like historically at TPC Boston, you'll see strokes gained putting closer to strokes gained approach, where other courses you'll see a bigger gap. And then of course, you know, there's strokes gained off the tee that'll kind of factor in there as well. But, you know, distance plays a role in strokes gained approach too, right? Because you're going to get down there and you're hitting shorter irons and whatnot. But strokes gained around the green is usually number four. Is at the bottom. Like, you got to have a good short game, but this whole idea that you have to have a great short game to play the PGA Tour. Yeah, you got to have a better short game than the buddies you're playing with at your club.
Right.
But when you're out there with the best players in the tour, what's the importance? I mean, strokes gained around the green is towards the bottom, which is, you know, kind of eye-opening for some people. So Wolf stats, you know, they're not like crazy great, but I do think if I was George, and I've talked to George about this, like it's learning the courses and starting to show some consistency. And I think he's done that. You know, I think he has started to show more growth and week in and week out.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. How about this? What do you think of with Victor Hovland?
Still, once again, young, not a huge body of work. I think Victor's got a great swing. I know that. You know, a lot of times you look at a swing, the first thing you notice is the bowed wrist, the shallowing. But not a lot of work. But I do think he's a good player. Where does he stand currently in the FedEx Cup standings?
Hovland, 24.
He's 24th. So he's in right now, but he's going to have a good week.
Yeah, he's going to have to play good. Yep, to get inside the top 30. Yeah. How about this? Strokes gain off the tee, 18th. Strokes gain approach, 8th. This is a good ball striker here. This kid.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Hunter Mayhem a little bit, you know.
Very solid player.
Yeah, when Hunter was rolling, right? When we knew Hunter winning. I mean, Hunter was such a great driver of the ball. I mean, just absolute stripe show off the tee. Victor's like that. And then into the greens. This kid can really go ball striking. You know, his short game, he flew on Sunday, just a little vanilla chip up the hill. I think it was on 14. He was 7 under. No, it was on 13. He was 7 under going for the day, going into it. Little vanilla shot, just stuck the leading edge in the ground, rolled right back to him, made double. So strokes gain around the green, 189. Strokes gain putting, 106. The problem with Hovland's short game is that, and I talked to Dana Dahlquist about this, who helps him more from a kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not a full-time coach, but a consultant, let's say. Josh Greger, I think, is helping him a little bit on a short game. But Hovland, you know, he's that shut to open player. He's like DJ. Their swings are very similar, actually. Just DJ moves it a little faster. But, you know, he kind of bows the wrist, face shut. In a full swing, you've got the speed to lean the shaft forward, turn, and, you know, you got more time to kind of navigate that. In short game, you don't. So the leading edge can get sticky, right? So you have to work around it. Do you just open the face up more at address, same grip, same wrist angle, or do you have to change the pattern of the lead wrist? DJ, you'll notice, will open the face more. He won't change the pattern of his lead wrist. Hovland.
So he opens the face at address with a short game.
Yeah, a lot. Because he wants to get some, he wants the face to be more open. So he gets more relief at the bottom, more bounce, right?
Right.
Where if he just took the same grip with the face square, the face would be shut, then he would have to
roll his wrists.
Coming through, he would have to either really let the shaft out a lot sooner than he's accustomed to, or he would have to probably start backing it up a little bit with the spine and the shoulder to get some relief at the bottom, or he just sticks the leading edge in the ground, you know, and you can do that if you catch the ball first, but you're probably playing with fire on the PGA Tour, especially into the gray.
You're going to blade it and chunk it on this thin line. I mean,
you know, these guys can make it work anything, but you know, I think with it's going to be interesting with Victor, what ends up happening there, right? Because they got to get some relief off that leading edge to improve the short game. But from a ball striking standpoint, I mean, the kid is an absolute stripe show. I mean, he can get it going, and his putting's a little inconsistent. I think he probably needs to stabilize that too. But when you're that good of a ball striker, you're going to have some shelf life on the PGA Tour for sure.
Right.
Colin Morikawa, the most impressive for sure, I would say, of this group. But what do you think of?
Will be number one in the world before this year is over.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, ball striking. And listen, I know he had a not so great tournament and missed the cut at the Northern Trust. However, his iron play is his strong point. Drives on a string off the tee. If he does have a weak point in his game, it would be his putting. He didn't putt terribly at the PGA Championship. I think he'll play well at the U.S. Open because he's not built on speed. Colin Morikawa is not somebody that's built off of driving the ball, you know, 320, 330. That's not his game. Mm-hmm. He's not tearing his body up. He's not doing anything really crazy, but he does a lot of things right, and he does a lot of things well. And I think he's going to be around for a long time, and I do think he gets the number one in the world before the year's over.
Wow, that's a big statement. Did you watch Dustin Johnson play in Boston?
I did, but I still think that Colin Morikawa is just, he's solid. He's consistent. And I think Colin Morikawa is going to be around for a long time. He's only played 19 events. He's got 2 wins. He's got the same amount of wins as DJ has, 2 wins.
Yeah.
He's got more top tens. I mean, he really is just a ball striking machine. And once again, he's not built off of speed.
Yeah.
And he's not built off of distance. And so therefore, and listen, I know he hits the ball plenty far and he swings the club plenty fast, but I'm saying it's not a case of Bryson or somebody else. I think he's going to be around for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, again, like Hovland, strokes in off the tee, 17, strokes in approach, he's second. I mean, goodness gracious, how's that? Second in approach. Around the green, 107th. That's down there. I thought he was a little better than that. His putting, 144th. The problem with Morikawa's putting is more on Bermuda. You know, he grew up in California. He's very good on bent, not so much on Bermuda. I think you just saw in Boston the challenges of and probably the demands of being the man, right? Like you just won the PGA. Right. You know he's getting pulled in every which way direction. He looked, I mean, there's probably a little fatigue involved there, I'm sure. He had a lot of uncharacteristic shots. You know, you usually don't see him hit. So, but I would say the only thing that would hold him back to that number one spot would be the flat stick. As I think they're going to be back on bent again in Chicago, and then they'll be in Bermuda down in Atlanta. But that'll get better as he goes. I talked to his coach, Rick Sessinghouse, about it on the podcast. It's one of the better ones that I've done with a coach. And he talked about that very thing. You should go check it out. Rick is a very underrated coach, sports psychologist, and has been with Colin for a long time. Colin, to me, plays with the most clarity and maturity, you know, on the golf course for sure. I think he's got the complete package at this point. You know, he's not overly long, but my God, can he absolutely pierce it? And I tell you, the thing that jumps out to most to me with Morikawa is just how he handles the big moments. I mean, how he played down the stretch at the PGA was some heady stuff. Like that was like, wow, that was big league stuff to hit those shots down the stretch. But I think with no fans, I'm not saying it's easy, but it was easier. Come on. I mean, there's no one around. There's no atmosphere. Like that was a good scenario for him right now. Fans around, more energy. I want to see some of that with him out there, but I think he's going to continue to do fine. I think he'll continue to win for sure. When you strike the ball like that in Hovland, you're going to be there, right? You're going to be there. And on Sundays, you're going to make some putts and get some things to fall your way. So Morikawa is the real deal for sure. I would say let's add a couple more names here. It's interesting. This Scotty Scheffler, right? Out of Texas, that was such a good team at Texas with Bo Hostler and Scotty Scheffler and Doug Gim. And Hostler was the guy, right? He was the number one guy. And Hostler, I believe, made it inside the top 70.
Hold on, I'm looking
now. Yeah, I think he may have squeaked in. But Scheffler has flourished as a pro, and he has come onto the scene here in the last few weeks.
I don't see his name anywhere.
What do you think?
I don't think he did.
Okay. What do you think of Scotty Scheffler here? I'm onto the scene the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Bo Hostler's at 116.
Okay. My bad.
Scotty Scheffler. I mean, listen, you can't argue the 59, young player. And, you know, for people to say, like you just said, there's no fans. Listen, man, you've been out with your buddies and about to shoot the best round you've ever shot. And you know how nervous you are when you know you're about to make PGA Tour history. And trust me, he knew that birdie putt on 18 was no gimme.
Yeah.
He put it right in the center of the jar. So obviously able to perform under that pressure. I think he's a great player, played very well at Texas. But he's young and there's so many young guns on the tour now. The tour is loaded with young talent. It's no longer, I mean, hell, DJ's almost, he's like the seasoned vet out there. Right. There's so many of these young guys. The tour is in such great hands. Golf is it could not be in a better place than it is right now.
Yeah, I think you have to like Scheffler in Chicago too. He hits at 308 off the tee. I mean, he's a little longer than I thought. You know, he started awful. He missed three cuts in a row, and then he goes 22nd at Memorial, 15th at the St. Jude, and now he's got back-to-back T4s, PGA Championship and the Northern Trust. I mean, that's some pretty heady stuff there. I think, Sunday scoring probably not exactly where he wants it. Is the heat getting to him a little bit, you know, as he gets into Sunday? I'm sure he'll clean that up as he goes, but he's long. He's going to gobble up strokes off the tee. The approach game is good. 55th on tour around the green, 75th putting, 111th. So, I think Scotty Scheffler, kind of he almost like he's played with Dustin now a ton in the last 2 weeks, and he kind of looks like he's got a little bit of the same temperament. You know, he just
not too high, not too low.
It's just, hey guys, how you doing?
There's a lot to be said about that. You know, the things that I think that's the same thing that makes Dustin really into it 1 week and not the next. It's the same trait that allows him to just not be ever too high or ever too low. If he makes an eagle, it's great. Makes a double bogey, that's fine too. I'll just go make another birdie. Like, I think that same demeanor is what is a huge positive to allowing them not to put too much stock or too much pressure into any one result.
Yep. No, I agree. All right. So let's finish up here. The podcast, a few names here. Predictions. Will they get inside the top 30 heading into East Lake? Let's start with Tiger Woods, who had a good round on Sunday. He's currently 57th. I think he needs to finish, what, T4 or better to get
T4
in?
T4 or better, yeah.
Tiger Woods finishes T4 or better, yes or no?
I'm selling. I'm not buying on that.
Me too. I'm out.
I mean, listen, would I love it to happen? Absolutely. Nothing would make me happier. I'm a huge Tiger fan. It's the reason I love golf. It's the reason that golf is my number one interest. But I'm also a realist. And something just looks off a bit. And I don't know if he's just not practicing as much. He's not able to. I mean, I understand there's a lot to get that body going in order to play. And he hasn't had a lot of tournament rounds, as he calls them, reps. I'm just not buying it yet. I know yesterday's 5-under was great, but let's be honest, there was no pressure. He was, I think he started the day next to last or second or third from last.
To hit and get
not a lot of pressure. Yeah. And yes, believe it or not, if in case you're asking yourself, Tiger Woods does feel pressure. He admitted that he felt pressure at the Masters, so he does feel pressure. He wants to perform. I just don't think that's there yet. I will say that the swing doesn't look bad. He's not hitting it all over the place. This past week at the Northern Trust, what was concerning to me a little bit was the short game was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, he chipped terribly bad. Now, I don't know if that's because he worked on his putting, and therefore, you know, anybody that plays golf knows you focus on one thing. Some, you know, one you're trying to patch one hole in the boat and another one pops up over here. So it's like I look at golf like a game of whack-a-mole. Mm-hmm. When you get one down, another one pops up over here. So he was you know, able to be superhuman for a while and able to fight everything off at once. But the chipping was concerning last week. Will he get that fixed this week? Probably so. But then what else pops up? Like, it seems to always just be something. And top four is, when you look at the other guys that are in this field, getting a top four is going to be a tall task.
Oh, yeah.
A tall order.
It is a tall order. And there's just no sign of it from Tiger, as you're mentioning. Yeah,
yeah, just not consistency. Yeah. I mean, could he go out and shoot 66 every day like he did yesterday? Then, yeah, maybe so. But we haven't seen that. We haven't seen the ability. I can't remember the last bogey-free round that he had. So, you know, I'm just not seeing the consistency. I would love for him to make it. I'd love for him to prove me wrong. But if I was a betting man, I would not put my money on that.
Yeah, I'm probably with you on that. All right, Billy Horschel, your man, Florida Gator, he's 30th. Is he going to hang on?
I'm going to say yes. Billy did had a rough go this week, did not make the cut. Has been playing well, though. Had played well coming in. Missed a couple short putts. Could have easily won the week before at the Wyndham. So, yeah, I'm going to go with yes. Billy is playing well and tends to play well this time of year, if you remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember. And Billy loves himself some fast greens, man. Like speed the greens up for Billy, because
he does.
That dude can go. Like, if I had to pick short lists, Tiger and Billy would be right there for me.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be interesting. Interesting time in golf. You know, it's you know, what does DJ do? He's not going to follow up 30 under with another 30. I mean, that would be. off the charts.
Or is he?
But
can we get Brooks to say something else negative about him? Can somebody get Brooks on the phone?
Actually, I wish Brooks would say something negative about Rory. I wish he would come out. So I might tweet Brooks and say, hey, do you have anything to say about Rory by chance, or Tiger?
I mean, at least fire them up a little
bit. It's what it comes down to with those guys. It really does. It's a changing of the guard. You're seeing it right now. No Fowler, no Spieth, no Rose. Enter Wolf, Hovland, Morikawa, Scheffler, Champ, M. What are those guys going to have to say about it in the new season? It'll be interesting to see, will Tiger make it? Phil's on PGA Tour Champions. What a huge boost that's going to be for the champ.
Yeah, and they're a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday event this week.
And they're a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday event. I absolutely love that. Golf, it's thriving right now, ladies and gentlemen. The ratings are good. Kudos to the PGA Tour. We'll be back with you on the Stripe Show podcast on Wednesday with my friend from the Golf Channel days, Todd Lewis, will be there. Todd, going to give us some insight to Olympia Fields. I feel like we don't know much about Olympia Fields. We saw it in the USAM in 2000, but it's going to be interesting to me to see how the course plays this week. My gut tells me I'm going to play a little bit longer.
Right.
Going to favor the longer hitter a little bit.
Speaking of long hitters, there's somebody we've only mentioned one time. I said his name and it was in passing, but yet was the hottest talk of the town just a couple weeks ago. And he's kind of cooled off a little bit. You know who I'm talking about?
Who? Tell me.
Mr. DeChambeau.
Oh, yeah.
He's cooled off some.
Well, speaking of comments, I think I'll go off air saying this. From my resources that I have, I think the comments of Brooks motivated DJ, and I think they've gotten into the head of Bryson.
I would agree with that.
That's my thought. So let's see if Bryson can rebound at Olympia Fields. Should be another good course for him.
Yeah. But he's safe to make it to Atlanta. He's in seventh now in the standing. So he's safe to make it to Atlanta.
Yeah. He's safe. We got to get Tiger in there. We need a good, Would you sacrifice Billy's spot for Tiger's, Froggy?
No. You can't ask me that. That's not fair. I'm not going to do that to my boy. No, I would not.
Those Gators.
I could name you plenty of other people I would sacrifice out of there. Like Tony Finau's on the bubble. He's at 29. He's going to have a good week to get in. Strelman, Long, yep. Cameron Smith, Champ, Hovland, Kisner, Palmer, Nah, and Leishman are your bottom 10. All going to have good weeks. Because there are other guys like Wolf, Ann, Cantlay, Scott, Woodland. I mean, they're right there. So it is going to be a good week. It's fun to watch that bubble and watch it as it goes. I know they do the graphic on television, and it is. It adds another layer of something to watch on the PGA Tour during these tournaments. So, but to answer your question, absolutely not. I would never forfeit Billy's spot for Tiger. As much as I would like to see Tiger get in, I can't do that to my Gator.
Hey, I understand. It's why I love you, Froggy. Thank you for joining me here on the Stripe Show podcast. We'll be back Wednesday. Todd Lewis from Chicago. I can't wait. Golf Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the Ozarks, right? That's where they are.
Yep.
And then we go up to Chicago Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then down here to Atlanta. It should be nice and cool in Atlanta.
Yeah.
the end of August. And then we're almost a football, buddy. Seattle, Tampa Bay, NFC Championship.
That'd be nice.
And we'll watch it at Dick's Wings here in Nocatee. Deal?
Yes.
Deal. All right, buddy. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you on Wednesday. Hey, it's Travis Fulton telling you there are 100 million reasons why you should listen up. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is celebrating the return of sports by giving away up to $100 million in prizes to all of their customers, including one lucky winner who will take home a $1 million cash prize. To claim your share of up to $100 million in instant giveaways, all you have to do, download the app and sign up using promo code Travis. Then enter DraftKings free football survivor pool. Yes, it really is that easy to claim your share of up to $100 million in instant giveaways and put yourself in the running to win a $1 million cash prize. While the top prize is reserved for one lucky winner, everyone who signs up and enters DraftKings free football survivor pool will receive an instant bonus prize of at least $5 in value upon entering. While you're in the app, don't forget to check out all of the great daily fantasy contests DraftKings is hosting for this week's basketball and golf action. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code Travis to claim your share of $100 million in instant giveaways and put yourself in the running for the $1 million cash top prize. That's promo code Travis to get your share of $100 million in prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.